for Washington, D.C., y'all.
Hey family, I'm Dominic. Hey, Dominic. I'm an addict. I was a lifetime of that, trying to correct that, but it's all good. And the topic is actually loving me in recovery. It's what I was asked to come share on. So like any topic that I ever see or I ever get, like, I automatically, the first thing I do is kind of like, I put it in the question form and I kind of reflect on it. So I didn't want to go too far with that because this was like kind of deep for me. I overlooked it at first. I was like, loving me in recovery, like, what's that? Like what kind of topic is that, man? You know, I just stopped, man, because it's exactly the topic that I needed, right? And so I just asked myself first, like, do I love myself? You know, this is about loving me in recovery. So the question is, do I love myself? And I thought about, like, early on in the steps, like in the second step or whatever, where they talk about a lot of us say that we know God, but we lack a working relationship with Him. And I kind of related that to this relationship. I say that I love myself, but do I lack a working relationship with myself? And then I think about the third step, right, where it talks about, like, it shows in the way you live. So automatically, I thought, if I love myself, it should show and reflect in the way I live. And that was really my problem, you know. My problem was how I live. You know, because even here in recovery, if I'm not careful, I can have two different lifestyles, you know what I mean? And that's something that I'm trying to check, you know, because I come from a background where that's exactly what I lacked. I lacked loving myself. You know, and this immediately made me think of my step work that I do with my sponsor and why I chose him. Because I can remember, because I thought about him right away. You know, the heartbeat of the program. You know what I mean? Sponsorship. If we're talking about a relationship with myself and loving myself, I go right to the heartbeat. So I thought about when I met my sponsor and everything and what really attracted me to him. And he talked about that, about having problems loving himself. And he talked about his family. And he talked about him early on as a young child. And that's immediately where I went to. Because that's what this thing is all about for me. If I'm going to develop this relationship and learn to love myself, I need to go to the roots. And I remember early on, as far as I can remember, being 2-3 years old, looking up. And everybody in my family is another race, another complexion. Because my mom is of Italian descent. So one of the first questions I had was, where's my father? Like, where's my dad? You know, my mom has her own story. She had her own story. She left him. And I look up, and I'm the only one of my nationality fully and of my complexion. And all I really want to know is, where's my father? And so I have a story early on where I didn't really know nothing about loving myself. I mean, my stepdad, I felt like he loved everybody else around me and not me, to the point where my mom ended up divorcing him early on because she felt the same thing. So how do I love myself if I'm not really being taught to love myself? And now I'm confused. I'm hurt. We talk about defects early on. I want answers, and I'm not really getting them. So I'm looking at my mom, and my mom has her own story. She can't give it to me because she's hurt. Whatever she went through with my father, she's hurt. So now I'm out on the block. Like, I didn't come. I moved to D.C. I've been to D.C. about 24 years now. But I came up, like, in the Midwest, and my mom and them's all from the West Coast. So where I came up in the Midwest, like, I had a problem on the street because I would always run outside. Because I didn't feel loved in my family. And really what it was I didn't love myself. I didn't know how to love myself. I wouldn't allow no one else to love me. So I would run out in the streets. I was real athletic. I was into sports. I was real physical. We didn't have all this smartphone stuff and these game stations and all that. We went outside to play. We learned everything outside. Not inside through Google or nothing like that. And so I would go outside now, looking for love. And the kids, my complexion, that was black, were calling me Oreo cookie and white boy and this and that. And so I'm like, I did a lot of fighting. The confusion and the hurt turned to anger. And then the other kids was calling me monkey and stuff because I came up in this type of area where everything was real segregated. So here I am confused, hurt, want some answers, looking for love. That immediately turned to anger. That anger attracted a certain crowd. A certain crowd where there's a different kind of love. We're talking this street love, right? There's something about the project. Now, mind you, my stepdad was in the Air Force. I used to be on a lot of the Air Force bases, get kicked off and all of that. But here I am, a kid on the Air Force. Anybody in the Air Force, the bases and all that, anybody that's been on there knows it's like an own separate city. You got your little shopping centers, your gyms, your school, all this stuff. You don't never have to go off the base if you don't want it. But when you're looking for love, and you don't have no love for yourself, why would I live in that condition? I was out in the projects because for some reason, the way I was acting and the way I was confused, those are the type of people that I attracted. So by not loving myself, I realized today that I attracted other people that didn't love themselves. And here's this Air Force military brat, as they would call me, out in the projects. Sleeping on my friends out there's floors. I don't want to go to the house. I want to sleep on their floors. But one thing I can say is I felt loved at that time. Even though it was a project, there was a sense of camaraderie. And that's what I know today with these youngins. It was a feeling that I got that they loved me and they would ride for me. So we talking later on, 10, 11, running around in the projects, didn't need to be there, looking for love. Lashing out, attracting a certain kind of crowd. But I was athletic, so I was in a lot of sports and everything, and I was doing all of that. And I look at it today, right? I didn't really have no dreams or no aspirations. I can't say that I wanted to be this or I wanted to be that. I was just walking around lost. Just lost. Had no idea that I would ever use. Didn't really contemplate it, even though it was all around me, because I was real angry and I was real hurt. I wanted to know who my dad was, where he was at. I never got them answers. I never learned how to love myself. I learned how to fake. I learned how to put up a defense, how to front. And when that thing came around, my drug of choice, right? It just happened. And the drink came around. And I remember to this day, I never even thought about it. Before that, I never thought I wanted to use or nothing. But when it came around, because I lacked love for myself, I had no idea who I was, going through identity crisis, I just grabbed it and passed it. But one thing I felt is an instant that euphoric feeling. That euphoric feeling for now, I have found my love. A young addict who didn't realize yet that he was suffering from so much that was leading him down a road where I wouldn't know how to get from that road, using and instantly, and I mean instantly, falling in love. I remember using all day. Forget about the sports. Forget about the hopes and all that I wanted to do. And I was using all day and I was in love. I had found something that was a scapegoat for me. This little boy who was 12 years old at the time. I wasn't even mentally developed yet. I didn't know nothing about understanding a life or anything. I told you I didn't have no dreams. So here's my love. I will use. Live to use and use to live. That's all I knew from there on. See, I know like today, right? I know in order to love myself, there were certain things I had to do, right? And I know using was not a way. I would never truly love myself if I'm using. Today I know that through Narcotics Anonymous. So that's why the topic is loving me in recovery. Because how can I love me if I'm not recovering? If I'm using? I had no idea. I would tell you that I love myself. I was feeling myself. But my love was contingent on everybody else around me. I needed you to validate me. I needed you to tell me something was going right, that I was looking good, in order to love myself. I would look to you almost to get the okay and the nod if it was all right to love myself. So no wonder why, even now today, I struggle with that peace, unconditional love. Because I look at loving me in recovery, and I know just like recovery, that's a process. I struggle with that sometimes. The way I live shows it. The things I do, the decisions I make, I struggle with loving myself sometimes. And I say it all the time, I can't love myself if I'm lying to myself. And lying to myself is convenient sometimes. It's convenient when you come from where I come from. Telling yourself lies, living in a fantasy. It's easy to say I love myself if I'm fantasizing all the time. So step one is exactly where it needs to be when you're coming into rooms through probation and parole, 20, 21 years old, around a lot of people that didn't look like me. Apparently they didn't use what I used. They worked from where I was from. Said they wasn't taking showers. Now, I have my drug of choice in my sock and needed my slip sign and still found a way to say, you people have nothing to offer me. The literature is key, right? It tells me, like, the literature tells the newcomer. It doesn't matter how much you use, where you're from, where you've been. None of that matters. Just what is your problem and how can we help you? But I wasn't interested on trying to love myself or find out about myself. And like I said, I couldn't love myself until I stopped using. That's the catcher. I wouldn't even start learning to love myself until I stopped using. So maybe somebody is struggling with loving themselves today. Maybe somebody's struggling with using. Well, the kicker is the process doesn't begin until I stop using. And they tell you, let us love you until you learn to love yourself. They told me that. I thought it was so crazy. What are these niggas talking about? Keep coming back. I don't want to be back. I got this slip. Sign this joke, right? I got something to go through, right? Loving myself, right? Man, I'm telling you. This thing, man, it's truly a spiritual. It's a truly a spiritual program. Because consciously, I didn't want to have nothing to do with you people. But my spirit was being operated on. It was being worked on. I was on the surgery table and didn't even know I was sick. So when I was broken enough and I didn't feel like nobody else loved me, because I can't love myself back then unless I knew you loved me. Guess where I came at? With no love. No despair, desperation, broken, hurt. People won't even answer their doors that I thought loved me. Because I was irrational. They didn't know how I was going to act. My own people wouldn't even answer their doors. I ran right back in to this place where you people were saying, keep coming back. And I couldn't stand the fact that you niggas wanted to hug me. The hug was the important part. Because the hug was the love. It was the process. Like, the process, right? I'm off the operating table because I'm in the hospital now. And the hug was the process of breaking me down in order to get to the room to start recovering. The hug broke down the image. It broke down the ego. When the men was coming to me, and I didn't want to talk to the men, because I didn't know nothing about being in love with a man. Right. Nothing at all. That's ironic. Yeah. Nothing at all. So when they would hug me, it broke down that ego. It softened me. It allowed me to say, I'm going to try something different that I'm not used to. Very important. Because I'm an addict that knocks a new way of life without even giving it a try. Can't stand the way I'm living. Can't stand myself, but refuse to let somebody else guide me. That's what happens when you know nothing about loving yourself. So, you want the number? I don't understand why y'all want my number. I don't get it, but I'm going to get it. Okay, here's my number. I think y'all knew I wasn't going to call you because I was sitting in the back with my headphones on, with my Sessions of Choice in my sock, waiting for us to go, because when y'all circled up, I was rolling. I was going to roll. So they would take my number and call me, right? And it was amazing, right? The spiritual program. The part where I don't even know that it's working, but it's working. That's why they were saying, keep coming back. Go figure, man. Like, so one day, it turns to a couple of days, to months, to weeks. And the whole time, I'm learning about loving myself in recovery. Because it's much different. It's much different here. Because if I'm used to it again, I have no idea how to even start that process. So while I'm coming to the meetings and the literature starting to click in a little bit, the literature was very important for me. Because with a closed mind, I didn't want to see myself in the literature. But once my mind started opening and my spirit started softening and I started letting you people love me, show me what unconditional love was about, the literature started sounding a little louder. The literature, I started seeing myself in places that I wasn't even listening for myself at first. I started seeing myself in the typical readings. Hold on, this sounds like me. I can relate to that. So when y'all was talking about y'all smoked something I didn't smoke or did something I didn't do, I started being able to relate a little better. Because the literature was helping me to see myself from a different standpoint. The literature, there's no debating with that. Because I like to debate. I like to argue with you. I like to contest everything that you say. So the literature, there's no arguing with the literature. If I'm looking. Like, you see how the brother, I love you, man. Thank you, man. And please keep coming back. You're going to learn something that I learned. And you might not even see it now, man. But like how you broke down. That's what the literature does. It convicts me. I can't argue with the literature. I can't talk back to it. So it was important, and the dudes I followed behind them showed me how to love myself. They're big on the literature, man. They were big on it. So I encourage anybody, like, I do it all the time. Pamphlets, man, that stuff is free. The pamphlets, all the different colors, that stuff is free. And it's powerful. And it's broken down. Like, seriously, man. I can open a pamphlet, close my eyes, and point my finger, and I'll see myself in that literature. This is the process of learning to love myself in recovery. I have to start getting honest with myself. I have to be able to see myself with an open mind. Optimistic versus pessimistic. Stop being so negative, Dominic. What else do you have to be grateful for? Because when I came in, not one person I used with till this day. It's in these rooms. So if there's nothing spiritual out of this program, that has to be the most profound thing that I've come across. I've been here for 11 years now and haven't seen. I have not seen one person I ran with up in these rooms. I know where they at. So once again, like, this is a process for me, like learning how to love myself. It's like, that's what I love about the program. It's about consistency.
That's right.
It's repetitious because my disease is. Yeah. And my disease doesn't want me to come anywhere close to learning how to love myself. Because it's more powerful when I'm in doubt. It's more powerful when I'm broken. It's more powerful when I have no understanding.
Yeah.
See, I understand today a little bit through you, through these rooms, through some step work, that I'm going to feel like I don't love myself sometimes. Those are the times I need to start checking myself. Because if I don't, I'll act as if I don't love myself. There's no excuses anymore. I'm not using anymore. I can't keep blaming on the fact that I'm an addict. The fact is, I'm dominant. I have a defective personality. I like and I feel comfortable with acting in the defense sometimes. The result is, it never looks like I love myself when it's all done with. and I'll tell myself anything to avoid the fact that I feel inadequate and I'm hurting in that department. And that's why I'm making these decisions, because sometimes, like I said, it feels good to lie to myself. So as I'm going along, as I'm doing, you know, step work with the sponsor and everything, I don't know about y'all, they got this, you know, the workbooks and everything they got now, man, is intense. It's intense, Mike. And I'm wrapping it up, right? Even step one, I'm like, what are these damn questions? Step one is breaking me down. I'm like, God damn. Remember when they used to just, you know, let's do step forward. Man, step one breaks you down. And then I'm going on step two, step three, step four. I didn't even like myself. I started finding out I was acting out. I was acting aggressive. I was kirking on people. I realized I was doing step four, right? I was taking that personal inventory and started seeing little parts where I didn't even like myself. I didn't even like the things that were jumping out on me. But those were the things they say, through the discomfort comes the relief, right? So those were the things that I needed to see. And my sponsor was trying to help me point out the assets and everything. And that kind of helped me, because step four was tough for me, because I have a problem loving myself in recovery. But they say the journey continues, right?
That's right.
So the journey for me is continuing to learn how to love myself, to act as if I love myself. Because I know, like, through my children now, that unconditional love piece, man, it's so hard for me, because sometimes I act like the child.
Go ahead now.
Right? But it's helping me, right? Because I told you the story early on, not knowing my father, not having no direction. So my children's unconditional love is helping to build me.
Yes.
And with y'all and the help of y'all and the other things I do in my community, like, I do a lot of stuff. And this stuff is esteemable. That's why in closing they tell me when I got here, like, you know, do these things, keep coming back, get a job, be honest with yourself, just don't use, because these esteemable things gives me that real esteem to be able to learn and continue to work on loving myself. And that is the best thing that's happened for me, right? This whole process. I don't look for validation no more. I don't do things because I think you think it's best that I do them. I don't do things because I think that it's best that I manipulate you in order for you to do what I want to do to help me to love myself. Instead, I try to continue to get honest with myself. I'm starting to learn from my mistakes, because I still make them. And I'm starting to see the importance of continuing this journey, man. Because for me, this is a relationship. It's all about the relationship with me. And in closing, right, there was no way I was going to get a relationship with myself. I had to get a relationship with God first. That's how it worked for me. Once I came in and had a relationship with y'all, somewhere along the line, I had that real working relationship with the God of my understanding, learn how to have a relationship with myself, start loving myself, and be able to reflect that and give that to y'all and let y'all love me back. Thanks for letting me share, man.